Good afternoon. Let me start by going over the players of the week for this past week's game against FIU. Our offensive player of the week was Kerry Meyer. Defensive player of the week, Russell Brorson. Special teams player of the week, Damon Patterson. Our scout team player of the week on defense, Dustin Spears. And our scout team player of the week on offense, Jose Rodriguez. We've studied the tape very carefully the last game, and you know, for the most part, we like what we see. Obviously, the first game, there's going to be some areas that you need shored up. We will take care of that. Nothing that we can't take care of, that's for sure. Looking forward to preparing here for Louisiana Tech. As you know, Louisiana Tech beat a good Mississippi State team, and they did it by playing good hard-nosed football, sound fundamental football. On defense, they were able to secure 5 turnovers. Their defense is very speedy and athletic. Their corners are very good. Their safeties are very good. Their linebackers are active, and they have a very good defensive line. On the offensive side of the ball, Taylor Bennett, quarterback that has transferred from Georgia Tech, is a quarterback for them, and can make throws, can do things. They have another player, wide receiver, number 6, named Philip Livis, I'm not exactly sure how you pronounce it, but very speedy guy, returns kicks for him, is a big playmaker on offense. So this is a very good Louisiana Tech team. They are progressing very well, and it's a game that we've got to be sharp and be on top of things, and we will be, but we have to be paying attention to all the details. I'll be glad to take some questions.
What would you like to see from your running game this week compared to last week before?
Well, last week that team didn't want us to run the football. And when you take chances of trying to stop the run game, there's a possibility you're going to give up in other areas and give up yardage. And, they did. Their philosophy was, we're going to come in and stop the run and force them to throw the ball, which is probably something you probably shouldn't do with us, because we'll throw the ball effectively under pressure and against zone coverages. But that's the approach that they took. So, we're not going to beat our heads against the wall. They're giving you a lot of underneath passes, and there's holes in their seams and their zone blitzes. We're getting leverage on their man coverages. So we're throwing the ball well. Why beat your head against the wall?
Do you anticipate Jeremiah Hatch being available?
That's a possibility.
Is he practicing?
Yes.
Why isn't that team make their greatest improvements from week 1 to week 2?
Well, week 1, there's no exhibition games. There's no preseason scrimmages. There's no preseason games. So what you put on the field first day against opposing competition is what you have. And you have no chance to see things in a full-speed game setting. So you tweak the things that need to be fixed, and you build on the things that are strong. And you usually make a lot of progress from week 1 to week 2 because you have everything in the place.
Coach, could you kind of talk a little bit about Louisiana Tech running back Patrick Jackson and kind of what are his strengths and how do you hope to contain him on Saturday?
Yeah, he's a really good football player. He's a guy that will kind of, he has good vision inside. He'll pick his way. He has enough of a burst to him that he can create big plays for him. So he's really a good football player.
How has Caleb Blakeslee improved from this year to last year?
Well, one of the biggest things for Caleb is he's playing more with his knees bent, playing at pad level. He's understanding the value of having leverage as a defensive lineman. And low man wins every time. He's a big guy. Football's a funny game. You recruit these real big guys and you want them to play low. You want them to bend their knees. But that's leverage.
Carey's primary role as backup of 9 receptions. Do you foresee games? I mean, is that consistent level that he's going to be at 9 receptions a game?
If we knew he'd have 9 receptions a game, we'll take it right now. End of story. There'll be days when he's open zones and people are doing some things in their coverages that allow us to get him open. There'll be other nights where teams try to jump all over him, but we have a host of other receivers that can catch the football. So he's a good complement to have out there with the rest of the guys.
What do you expect from Louisiana Tech's defense? I mean, what do they do well other than all the takeaways?
Well, I think they're pretty sound fundamentally and assignment-wise. Their kids get where they need to be. They get lined up. Rarely on tape could you see them having an alignment bust on defense. They have corners that are good players, which allows them to do things with their inside, with their safeties and linebackers, because they know they can get quality coverage out on the perimeter. They just play good fundamental football, the kind of football that coaches like to see.
What does it mean now, knowing that the players run out onto the field, they're going to be surrounded by a packed stadium? What does that do for the football
program? Well, certainly the kids enjoy it. I mean, it's exciting. It's better than, the alternative of running into one that's empty. We've done that before. That wasn't a whole lot of fun. I think the challenge for our kids, and they realize that as long as they keep playing well, people are going to keep coming out to watch them play. That's pretty simple.
Jamal Green looked pretty disruptive at times out there Saturday. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, Jamal's a talented guy. We're looking for consistency for Jamal. From him, I should say. We're looking for him to do it play after play, series after series. That's the challenge for Jamal, and I think he's matured a lot in the last year. He's really starting to understand that you got to get after it every single snap, because if you don't, you're letting your teammates down. You're going to create a void in the defense. So he's come a long way, and we expect him to continue to mature, and I think he's starting to get a grasp on what the expectations are here.
Is that even more crucial for a defensive tackle, because that's the heart of your defense on that front line every single play, to get them to McClinton seem to have that kind of motor to stop that.
McClinton was really special. You know, you don't run into a lot of McClintons in your coaching career, but it's crucial because good defensive tackle play allows our linebackers to play really well. If they play their gap and do the things that they're asked to do, be where they're supposed to fit in the run game, move the pocket back in the pass game, but more so in the run game. If you get your fits and get where you're supposed to be and get vertical push upfield, that allows our linebackers to be free, or at least delay offensive linemen getting a block on them, which then means the linebackers, now they can get their fit, and that's the key to stopping the run. I thought they just played, as I said, somebody asked me earlier, they played sound fundamental football. Sure, they have blitz packages that they use, and they're effective with them. But I like the idea that they've lined up and that they get people running to the football. They're speedy on defense. As I said before, their corners in the perimeter are pretty good players, so that allows you to be able to do some things in the heart of your defense, because you know you're going to be able to, I don't want to use the term lockdown, because that would not be appropriate, but you're going to get pretty doggone good coverage out on the perimeter.
Were you at all surprised to see the result from their first weekend?
Mississippi State now, I had been told by a lot of people that understand SEC football thought they were going to be a much better team this year. I still think they will be. You know, they ran into a bump in the road, and those things happen in college football. But Mississippi State is a good-looking squad, and I'm surprised that they lost. I knew they'd be in for a tough time down in Ruston. That's a tough place to play. But, you know, really impressed that La Tech came away with the victory.
Because maybe the uninformed fan maybe would have glanced at your schedule and saw Louisiana Tech and said, oh, that's it's a cupcake, you know, or whatever. And this is a program, I'm sure you, they've been around, they've made some noise at different points, and it's not really a cupcake, exactly.
No, Louisiana Tech has had a tradition of putting good football teams on the field and good individual players over the years. It's a program that has a history. This is not the first time. This may be maybe the third or fourth time in my career that I'm coaching against a Louisiana Tech team, and always felt that they were a tough preparation. Their kids were always ready to play. You know, on offense, for example, they give you a bunch of different looks, unbalanced looks, bunch looks. You know, they're going to try to do all they can to try to out-gap you and try to give their kids a chance to win. So over the years, they have always been salty. And, you know, when we scheduled this game, I knew that it would not be an easy game. This is going to be, let's put it this way, it'll take our best effort to win the game. And that's what I expect from our players. I think so. There's nothing that's going to keep him off the practice field. So it's hard. It's kind of day to day, but I don't think that it's going to be a serious problem. Everything from the training room reports is that he just got banged up a little bit, and you know he'll practice. But we'll be smart too. We got to be smart.
Do you think it's good for him in any way to get his first Division I game out of the way?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure he was anxious because it was his first game, but he showed no signs of not being prepared for it. He was ready to go, and he was looking forward to it. So I thought he did. At the beginning of the game, he ran extremely well. Then they made some adjustments, as I said. They made a decision to stop the run the best they could. And then he got banged around a couple of times and came off the field. But I suspect, having played the first game, he knows what to expect a little bit now.
Coach, can you tell a story of how you got Desmond Briscoe out of Texas? And it seems like he's got 6'3", 200 wide receiver.
Yeah. Well, we just recruited our tails off. You know, our coaches did a good job of recruiting him and selling Kansas to him. And, I thought he felt comfortable here when he came on his visit. He's a little bit in high school. His career was overshadowed by a teammate that got a great deal of publicity. National publicity, and a lot of recruiters were focused on him. Not a lot of people recruiting Dez too, but a lot of people got focused on him and decided to go after the other kid with great guns. And we just felt like we'll go after this guy, fits what we're doing for sure. And we're going to go after Dez hard, and we'll try to get the other guy. But kind of felt Dez fit him better to what we were doing, and he came. He's quite confident. He's a quiet guy. He doesn't say a whole lot. I think he really enjoys playing football. One of the things he needed to improve on were work habits when he first got here. Like a lot of true freshmen, they don't know what to expect. And I thought last year was tough on him because, you know, he was just trying to find his way, yet we were relying on him to play for us. And I think the first year for him, his head was probably spinning. But now he seems a lot more relaxed. He understands what the expectations are on and off the field. And, he's doing what we ask him to do. And, he's a guy who really likes to play football. You know, that's his thing, man. He he enjoys going to practice field and playing every day.
What were you most pleasantly surprised about when you seen something you thought, wow, I didn't think it was going to be that good?
I'm not ready yet to jump out of my shoes about anything. We have high standards here, so we expect our players to play well and do a lot of good things. And, you know, I'm not really, after one game, ready to jump up and, you know, dance around for any particular scheme or player or anything like that. We need to meet our expectations, and first week we did.
Overall, did your game day, the first time that you had a chance to be with this facility and going out again, fairly smooth, you like the transition of everything?
Yeah, there were hardly any hitches at all. I thought that the building was secure and there were no interruptions. I think the fans kind of like the idea that they're a little bit closer to the players headed to the playing surface, which makes it a little bit more intimate with the fans and the players. And the fans were well behaved, you know, they were just cheering for the players going on and off. The only hitch all night was banging on the door out here in the press conference after the game. And I apologize. I don't know why you were told to go through those doors here. Those are emergency exits. We don't mind at all that you come through the foyer and come here into the auditorium. So I apologize for that. But that was the only hiccup all night was I was trying to talk here to Nate and some kids were banging on the door. Other than that, it went pretty well.